Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Well, good morning to each of you. It's good to be able to join you again this Tuesday, and a great opportunity for each of us to just turn our eyes away from us. That's a good thing, and turn them on the Lord. And He's not lost His voice. I believe He still wants to speak to us a fresh word today. So as we do, let's stretch first just to loosen. I don't know if anybody else needs it, but it gets the old body loose. And even more, let's get the spirit loose. Let's pray so we can tune in. Lord, we just come to You this morning. We thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to get with brothers and sisters. Lord, with one intent, which is to seek Your face, which is to seek to get to know You better, to know Your ways better. Lord, so we can cooperate with You in a more precise way. So Holy Spirit, we know You moved upon these scriptures many years ago, and we just pray You would come on them afresh and just apply them to each of our lives. Help us, Lord, to be able to know that part of Proverbs 31 that really is addresses us where we are this day. So, Lord, we come with an open, receptive, expectant spirit. And we just ask You, Jesus, in Your name, amen. Amen. Okay. Here we go. The words of Lemuel, and reading from the New American Standard. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. What, O my soul? And what, O son of my womb? And what, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, or your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel, is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink, lest they drink and forget what is decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who's perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his trouble no more. Open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. If she does him good and not evil, all the days of her life, she looks for wool and flax, and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night, and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments, and she sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and they bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Okay, well, here we go. Verse 20, I just saw something I didn't see when I was running. I just wanted to write something down here. Okay, well, we're going to look at basically the part that deals with the wife. I didn't want to try to handle everything because I thought really the focus was what is a good wife. It's written by this fella, King Lemuel. I did a little reading on that. Nobody quite knows who this person is. Some people think it's Solomon under another name. We're not sure. But when you get to the bottom of this, it's really not even this king that's giving the wisdom. He's just reciting something that his mother taught him, right? It starts right here, verse 31. Verse 31, chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle, which, here it is, his mother taught him. So he's just basically passing on information that was given him from his mother. And he basically talks about this whole idea about a wife, a specialness about this person. If you look what he says here right in the beginning, is that this wife is a very special person. Look at verse 10. An excellent wife who can find. An excellent wife who can find. So he's saying there's a lot of ladies out there. There's a lot of wives out there. But he says an excellent wife is a rare, rare find. In fact, he goes a little bit further about this excellent wife. For her worth is far above jewels. So he's saying basically a good wife, an excellent wife, a biblical wife is an amazing find, a tremendous gift. And he says it's more important, more desirable than jewels or money or all the materials. You can have all the material stuff in the world. In a sense, you could be a millionaire. You could have money galore, but if you don't have a good wife, guess what? It doesn't mean anything. So I like us to look at, okay, what is this rare find? What is a wife from a biblical perspective? What's God looking for in a wife? So if you are married and you're a wife, we're going to look at some of the characteristics. But ultimately, we're going to see this applies not just to wives, but it also applies to husbands. And it not only applies to married people, wives and husbands, it really applies to everybody on the screen. Even if you're a single person, the bottom line, these characteristics portray what pleases the Lord as we interact with life. And I'm going to be jumping all over the place today because I'd rather do it that way and have some systematic thoughts than to jump here, there, and everywhere in the sense of just we're going to go verse by verse. It's going to be basically seven characteristics of a wife that pleases the Lord. Okay, so let's jump in because she does bring joy. Because of these characteristics, she brings joy to her family. Look at this. 27. She looks well to the ways of her household And then look at verse 28. Her children rise up, they bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. So we're going to look at the lady, the wife, that causes the children, her children, her husband to say, wow, this is one amazing wife. Okay, number one, she provides for the physical needs of her family. And we're going to look at number one. She basically provides clothing for them and for herself. So we're going to look around here. Basically, we're going to look at the clothes first. If you look at verse 13, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's 12 going into it. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She looks for wool and flax. Okay, that's material for clothes. She looks for the wool and the flax. If you look at verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, what is a distaff? What's a spindle? If you look at that, that is like a rod, a spindle, and it's used where you wrap the wool around it, okay? So what she does is she gets the wool, she gets the flax, and now she begins to wind it around, getting ready to make the clothes. If you look at verse 21, she says this, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So she takes care of the entire household, okay? She's making clothes for every person. And if you look at 22, not only does she make clothes for her husband, her kids, she makes clothes for herself. Verse 22, she makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So she is very busy making the clothes, but I think it's really important to see her attitude as she makes the clothes. Again, verse 13, she looks for wool and flax, here it is, and works with her hands in delight. It's one thing to do things to do them out of duty and obligation. But she's not whining, complaining, getting on, man, oh man, I gotta go make these clothes. This is drudgery. I really don't want to do it, but I gotta do it for my family because they gotta have clothes. She doesn't have the whining, complaining spirit. When she works, she does it with a sense of joy, with a sense of delight. She presents a positive atmosphere through the home. So important. I know we've all been around people that are negative, people that are complaining, people that always look at the problem, people are just plain downers. That atmosphere in the home is not one that lifts the home up. It kind of drags the home down. So this lady is making the clothes and she's got a smile on her face when she does it. She delights because she wants to do this to please her family. She wants to provide for the needs of her family with a heart that's open and wanting to bless them. Okay, so she meets the physical needs by making clothes, okay? But she's also a cook. If you look at verse 14, she's like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. So, from afar, meaning she goes out and she goes and she searches for the right food to feed her family. She doesn't just throw the scraps here and there, the way at least I would look at it, brings her food from afar. She searches to get good food because she, again, wants to meet the physical needs of her family. So she makes sure they have good clothes. She makes sure that they have good food, just basic needs. But even though they're basic, they're important. To her. She wants to make sure those needs of her family are being met. So not only does she take care of the physical needs of the idea of what we wear, the food, she is a diligent, hardworking person. If you look at verse 15, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to the household and portions to her maidens. She rises while it's still night. This lady gets up. Mike, you're talking about the sun coming up and all that. She gets up even in the dark. Why? Because she wants to make sure that the needs of her family are going to be taken care of. So she doesn't just sleep in. I'll get to it whenever I can. No, she gets up early because that's a priority. She wants to take care of her family. And she rises early to make sure the food is proper and that it's ready. If you look at verse 27, toward the second half of that verse, she does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she's not idle. She works hard. She's industrious. And then if you look at verse 18, toward the end, her lamp does not go out at night. So this lady is one hard worker for her family. She gets up early in the dark. She stays up late. I mean, her concern is to make sure that the needs of her family are being met. So she's diligent. She's industrious. She's a hard worker, and she's not a slackard. She doesn't idle. She works hard. Again, her motivation is to bless her family and to be able to meet their needs. Not only does she do the physical thing for her family, the clothes, the food, not only does she work hard, but she's also a very prudent person and wise. Those are nice characteristics to add to what she already is. Look at verse 16. She considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings, she plants a vineyard. This lady, she's thinking. She knows how to invest. She knows how to use her money to the best. And she goes out, gets herself a field, and she plants it. So she is planning to raise money to make sure the needs of the family will be met. So that's verse 16. If you look at verse 18, she senses that her gain is good. She feels good. I made an investment. I'm using my head. I'm trying to be wise. And she's smiling like I'm using all the talents that God has given me. I'm stewarding our money so that truly the needs of my family will be taken care of. And verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. So this lady not only goes out and buys property and tills the field and makes a garden, she's making clothes again, not just for herself, not just for life, she's making clothes for others. And I guess that's extra income. Again, her mindset is she diligently wants to make sure the needs of her family are going to be made known for sure. Absolutely. That is her prime thought. Okay. Not only is she wise and prudent that way, she also takes care of herself. Look at verse 17. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. So she does not neglect her physical body. And that's a good clue for each of us. How are you? How am I taking care of this body? Okay. For our body to work in an optimal way, I think there's some things we got to do. Number one, we've talked it before right here. We got to eat properly. Okay. We're not just eating junk, but we're doing that. We also need to have proper rest. A lot of people do not get proper rest and sleep. They keep trying to cut it down. I may need 8 hours, but I'm going to live on five. No, I think we need to be able to eat well. We need to be able to sleep well. I think also it's important that we take time to rest. The body needs to be rested. It needs to be refreshed. This gets back to, we've seen in other soaps, the idea of the importance of a Sabbath. Like to set that one day apart. Okay, I'm not working on this day. I'm just going to refuel my body. I'm going to refuel my mind. I'm going to refuel my emotion. I am just going to chill out, have more time for the Lord, more time for my family. The other thing that I think when she says she's got a strong wife, she's exercising. So, how are we doing in that? Are we eating properly? Are we exercising properly? Are we getting enough sleep? Are we keeping the Sabbath? These are ways God says that you're going to preserve your physical strength and have maximum performance to be able to serve others. She does that. But not only does she do that, this lady also, number five, she has good character. It's one thing to have a strong body. Well, that's great. I'm glad you got a strong body. You got muscles, but that's important. But there's something probably even more important than strong muscles. And if you look at what she says here in 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. Smiles at the future, meaning, just back it up a little bit. She smiles. Why? Because she says, I know I've taken care of my family. I know they're going to be okay. In fact, if you go to 21, she says she's not afraid of the snow. Because why? Because she's planned ahead of time. She is a wise person. She's a strong person physically, but she also, as it says right here where we were, the fact that she has good character in 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And I looked at, what's dignity? Sometimes I think dignify, like you just sit there properly and you can maybe be snobbish, whatever. But if you really look at the root of the word dignity, it's somebody that lives an honorable life. This lady lives an honorable life. She lives a life that matches the morals and the standards of the Bible. She lives in such a life that people can't point a finger and condemn her and say, well, look at her. Look at her behavior. It's all based. No, they can't find a fault in her because she's walking in a biblical way, in a dignified way, in a way that honors the Lord, in a way that glorifies Him. So this lady is a sharp, sharp person, has good character. She's honorable. Also, we know that she is a kind person. Look at the end of 26, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So, you can be strong, you can be this, you can be that, but she's kind. I think everybody likes a kind person. Somebody that's not harsh, somebody that's not in your face, not somebody that's shouting at you, but a kind person. Somebody that genuinely cares for other people. So she's kind. She definitely has compassion and care on other people. And that's illustrated too. Look at verse 20. When we say kindness here, it's not just kindness in words. She teaches kindness, but she does it. It's one thing for us to say something, but it's something else to live what we say. Look at what she does. 20. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. So this lady is really cool. Not only does she take care of her house, and not only does she take care of the needs of her husband and her kids, she looks outside and how can I bless others? And I kind of get into her head when she's making all this extra money, right? By selling clothes, by gardening and making things grow. I believe she makes money because she says, the more I can make, the more I can give away, the more I can become a blessing to others. So, she's a loving person. And not only that, but she also is spiritually on top of her game. Big, big, big deal. Look at verse 30. It says here, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. So there is the bottom line, I think, that we're seeing here. What's the most important thing of everything else that we've talked about? Not just physical stuff, not just working hard. The bottom line, it's a heart, he says, that fears the Lord, and she fears the Lord. And I think we need to define the fear of the Lord. That's not like a fear like, uh-oh, God's up there, he's ticked off, and he's going to send a lightning bolt when I make a misstep. It's not that kind of a fear. It's a fear, it's a healthy respect for God. It's realizing he's the creator, I'm the creature, I don't tell him what to do. Because he's the creator, I seek to love him, I seek to follow him, I seek to please him. So to fear means I don't want to hurt him. The fear of the Lord is, God, I want to love you, I want to walk in a way that blesses you. Lord, I don't want to grieve your spirit. Lord, I don't want to quench your spirit. I just want to walk with you step by step by step by step. So the husband is a happy camper when he has this kind of a wife. Look at what he says here in 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And he is a happy person because of that. Verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Now, he's very happy about his wife, right? We just saw. He trusts her. He knows she's going to take care of the needs of the family. But here, what is the overall attitude of this lady? You know, we've given these seven characteristics, but I think there's one that undergirds the whole deal, and I think it's found right here, verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. There you go. There is a good wife. She does him good. The way I see that, according to the Bible, is a good wife says, I will seek to bless my husband, and I will seek to bless my children, and I will put their needs before my needs. That is not complex, folks. That is not all jumbled up with a lot of different this and that and do this and don't do that and a lot of rules. This is a good wife who puts her husband before herself, wants to bless him, and also not bless him, but provide for his needs. And, you know, when we look at that, we look at a husband, right? This is not just applying to a wife. And by the way, I got to say, Kathy fits this bill. She is a good wife, and I've got to praise her. If he can praise his wife here in the Proverbs, I'm going to praise my wife. She lives it. She lives the bless me, the bless my family, and that is an amazing thing. I am blessed, and it fills me up. But if I can live that same way, and I want to bless her, that's my mindset when I get up. Lord, how can I bless Kathy? How can I put her needs before me? Folks, you can't go wrong in that relationship. If both the husband and the wife have that attitude, that is what marriage is all about. And it's a fulfilled marriage because, number one, Jesus is right smack in the middle. And because he's in the middle, and because he is a giving Jesus, and if that's my attitude to my wife or my kids or life, I will be a fulfilled human being. The giver is blessed. The one that's selfish, the one that's all about me, 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 is not blessed. They're just not, because they're the opposite. They're swimming upstream. So what I've described and these characteristics of a woman really should be the characteristics of a husband. So if you are married and you're a wife, how are you doing with these characteristics? If you're a husband, how are you doing? And let's go even further. I'm not just talking about husbands and wives. What about single people? These characteristics apply to every believer, every one of us on the screen. So just wrapping up here, let me just list these and do a checklist in your head. How am I doing in this area of my walk with my family? Indeed, if I'm married or have kids, but even if I don't, how am I doing in just generally relating to other people? So let me just share some of those traits again. Number one, fearing God, respecting Him, putting Him first, that He is your first love, and you fear Him and respect Him to such a degree you do not want to hurt Him, you don't want to grieve Him, you don't want to quench His movements. He is number one in your life, and you will seek always to put Him before you, and you'll always seek to walk in His commandments. You'll seek to obey Him and stay in step with His Spirit. So, how are we doing on that one? Big deal. That undergirds the whole thing. Okay, that's number one. Number two, living an honorable life. Living an honorable life. Are we living in such a way that unbelievers outside can't say, well, look at that Christian. They say this, but they never live it. They say do this, but I see them doing the opposite. They're not that they say they live the word, but they don't. And that's not good because we've heard this story forever and ever. People call something great. They're you're a bunch of hypocrites. You go to church and you say this, but then you leave the church doors and then you act like the world. So are we living an honorable life? Are we living a life that brings glory and honor to Jesus so that when people would see us, they meet Jesus? I mean, that's the bottom line. Is Jesus shining clearly through our words, through our thoughts, through our actions? Okay, number three, are we loving, kind, and caring toward other people? Love is the most important thing. We hear 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, love. These are going to go on forever, but the most important is love. So if you want to know how mature you are, how mature I am in the Lord, then there's a very clear way to see it. And that is how much of Jesus' love comes through you. That's it. Not necessarily if you know all the data in the SOAPs and you can repeat this and you do that and you do all these things. But the bottom line for Jesus is how much of my love is coming out of you and blessing the world. So that's a good one to think about. Am I a loving, kind, caring person? And this is not something I crank out in my own oomph and my own abilities. It's just being an open channel so that the Holy Spirit can let His love flow through us and His kindness to the world. Okay. Number four. Are we a hard worker and industrious? In other words, do we give our best shot? I know sometimes people go to work, I'm going to do as little as I can to get the job done. I think that's like, okay, let me skimp, let me just do the minimum. And that's not a Christian's attitude. The Bible is very clear. Whatever we do, we should give our whole heart to it. Give our energy, give all that we have, giving our best, not our least. So, in regards to how we interact at the job, a home, whatever, are we a hard worker or are we just a procrastinator? It'll get done someday. The idea, just like idleness, eat, drink, and be merry. I'll get to the stuff later. No. Am I a hard worker? Number five, here's an interesting one. Serving God and our family with a cheerful, positive spirit. So how are we doing there? How are you doing? How am I doing? Am I cheerful? Am I thankful? Do I live that kind of an atmosphere in the home that it's positive? So that if a spouse comes home, they want to come home because There is a open, caring, respectful, loving atmosphere in there. Sometimes we can do the right things, but underneath there's that kind of like, oh man, do I gotta do this? Grumbling, complain, And people carry that attitude into the marriage, they carry it into the relationship with kids, they carry it into the job. Well, this lady delighted to bless other people. May that be our attitude. And just two more. Number six, do we have a wise use of our time, our talents, and our investments? Are we stewarding the gifts God gave us? Everybody has certain spiritual gifts through which they can serve the world. Am I using my time wisely? Okay. Important that we take time in the Word of God. Important that we take time to pray. Important that we take time to be with other Christians so we can support each other in the journey, lift each other up, pray for each other, encourage each other. Are we using time wisely, our talents? We talked about our body. You're taking good care of your body. How are you doing in regards to proper sleep, proper eating, proper exercise? How are you doing with keeping the Sabbath? Kathy and I are working on that one. It's a bit challenged to go, okay, I'm going to cut this day apart. So how are you doing? And last one, this lady, and I'm not even sure I mentioned this one before. Where did that go to? She shares her wisdom. Look at 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So I'm not sure I mentioned that before, but that's the deal is she doesn't keep the wisdom she's learned just to herself. So, oh, isn't that neat? I've got wisdom. She wants to share what she's learned with others. So think about that. God has given you an amazing walk with him. He's given you the ability to see him move in and through your life. He's encountered you. He's encountered me in different ways. He's given us wisdom on how he interacts. Are we sharing the wisdom with other people? Are you sharing what God has taught you with your spouse? Are you sharing what God's taught you to your kids? Are you doing that? I don't know. Maybe being a connect group leader. Maybe even with a friend. It doesn't always have to be, okay, we're going to do a formal teaching, but at the right time, maybe share with a friend, hey, God's been showing me some neat things. Can I share them with you? So this lady's really cool. She doesn't just hoard the wisdom that God gives her, she pours it out. So I hope, this has made us just think a little bit about, what's it really look like to walk in a way that pleases the Lord, whether you're a wife, whether you're a husband, whether you're single, doesn't matter. These characteristics are what a Christian should be by the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for Proverbs 31. We thank you for this lady that, wow, what a wife she is. She walks the biblical walk in so many regards. But Lord, we thank you that she's really a model, not just for her family, but she's a model for us in our everyday life. Lord, I just pray, Lord, as we've kind of looked at that checklist at the end, help us to evaluate how are we doing with our walk, Lord? Do we fear you? Is our life honorable? Are we a loving, caring person? Do we work hard, Lord? What's our attitude, Lord? Is it a grumbling attitude or a positive praising attitude, Lord? How are we investing our time, our talents, taking care of our body? Are we sharing, Lord, what you're teaching us? Lord, just so many things, but we thank you, Lord. Help us to apply now those areas in our life where we need some adjustments, where we need to grow. I thank you, Father, through your Spirit, you're going to help us take the next step. Don't know what this next step is for each one on the screen, but Lord, for each of us, there's another step, the next step, the next thing you're asking us to do as we look at Proverbs 31. Give us ears to hear, Lord. Give us eyes to see. And Father, we just thank you and we pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay, folks, have a great day and may the Lord guide and lead. See you next week.